Psalm 33 will be in tonight, the Old Testament, Psalm 33. If you want to turn there, verses 1 through 22, if you'll follow along, I'm going to read a little bit of reading tonight, but if you'll just follow along. I've titled tonight's teaching, Why Believers Should Rejoice in Our God. Why Believers Should Rejoice in Our God. Verse number 1, chapter 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks down, the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men from the place of his dwelling. He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their work. No king is saved by a multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him. Because we have trusted in his holy name, let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. A lot of commentators, as they look at this scripture, link Psalm 32 and Psalm 33 together. Because in Psalm 32, David is praising the Lord for forgiving him of his sins. Obviously, his sins of sinning with Bathsheba. He's asking for forgiveness. Psalm 32 closes with a command to rejoice. And in verse number 11, a command to rejoice. In Psalm 33, it opens up with that same command, rejoice in the Lord. And you know, even though these two psalms are very different in their context, they're both centered, really, on the theme of praise. And that's what I want to kind of focus on tonight. Psalm 32 is God is to be praised because, well, he forgives sin. And that's a big praise that we can give to him, that he forgives us of our sin. But Psalm 33 that we just read, God is to be praised because he is in control. And I think in today's world and the things that we're going through today, the things that we see happening over in the Middle East and around the world, even in our own country, we can sometimes get down and discouraged and say, really, what is going on? But as we read Psalm 33, we can see that God is in control. Both of these themes in chapter 32 and 33, it makes God worthy, what? To be praised. And I hope that's what we can look at tonight. Verse number 1, as we just read, if you want to circle, the believers are commanded to rejoice. I'm getting ahead of myself. The word means to overcome, to cry out, to give a ringing cry, to shout for joy. Are we doing that when we rejoice? The scriptures say, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Shout for joy. Verse number 1 also tells us that praise from the upright is beautiful. You know, there's so many emotions that can grip our heart each and every day. We can be overcome with pride and with hate and anger and envy and unforgiveness. And there's so many other hurtful, harmful emotions that we can see. And Pastor Ken on Sunday touched on that as he went through Galatians 5 and touched about the fruit of the spirits, how we are to live our life. There's so many emotions that we can get caught up in. But you see, no emotion is as beautiful is that emotion when our heart is filled with praise for Jesus. Are we praising Jesus on a regular basis? Are we praising him each and every day? Are we spending time with him in prayer? Do our prayers open up with a bunch of I wants and a bunch of I needs? Do our prayers open up with, thank you, Jesus, for all that you do for me? Oh, I hope they do. I hope they do. I hope our prayers open up that way and we spend a good amount of our prayer time in being thankful to Jesus because he has done so much. Not only has he died on the cross to give us eternal life, but he supplies our every need. He's always there for us. He's always in that boat for us when we're in those difficult times. He doesn't leave us. On those difficult times, he's not walking alongside of us. He's carrying us. Just like that poem says, footprints in the sand. Why did you leave me, God, when it was difficult? I didn't leave you. I carried you during that time. You see, Jesus carries us. Verse number 2 calls on us to use our musical skills to praise him. When our instruments are played for his glory, well, you see, it's because music is just another form of praise. Now you might say, well, I don't play an instrument. Well, you can sing. That's your instrument. And we can praise God. I can remember growing up when I was in high school, my parents and I, we would go down to Columbia, South America to see my sister and brother-in-law. They were missionaries down there. And we would spend about a month down there. And my dad was a very, very good trumpet player. And I played trumpet too. So we would take our trumpets with us. And my brother-in-law and us and my sister, she played the accordion, believe it or not. We would go out on the street corners and we would play music. And then my brother-in-law would teach right there on the street corners. You see, we use music to draw people in. To praise God. That's what verse number 2 is calling us to do. Are we using our instruments to praise him? Even if it's just the instrument of our voice, let's praise him. I could hear you guys singing tonight. It was so great. There might be only just a handful of us, but you were praising God, and it lifted me up as I was singing up here. Oh, I hope we're always praising him. Verse number 3 calls on us to sing unto him a new song. You see, that idea of a new song, it means that we're to be thoughtful and exercise in our minds, find new ways to praise him. Well, how can we do that? Well, consider Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. No one ever reads Lamentations, but this happens to be my verse, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Listen to it. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And you see, this is the part that's very special to me. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Are we saying that every morning? Are we saying when we get out of bed, good morning, Lord, or are we saying, good Lord, it's morning? I'll have to say, sometimes I say, good Lord, it's morning. Are we saying, are we thankful that every morning, great is thy faithfulness? You see, we need to just praise him with our whole hearts every day. Praise him for his grace, for his blessings, and for his goodness to us. Oh, that's so important. Verse number 3 also calls on us to praise him in such a way that can be heard by others. Doesn't mean that we're to praise him so others just see us, but we're to praise him so others can see Jesus in us. Are we taking that time to, when somebody's hurting, just to pray with them and spend that time in prayer with them? I hope so. Because there's so many people out there that are hurting that just need that time of somebody to pray with them. Somebody to comfort them, somebody to talk with them, somebody that can see that is praising Jesus. Verses 4 through 9. We should rejoice in his word. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays them up in deep storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. You see, as we look at verse number 4, we see that his word is precious. Do we treat his word as being precious? If you want to circle that word right, you can circle off in one side and one side right, upright, or strength, straight or correct. You see, the word reminds us that God's word sets the standard for morality. You see, the word of God is like a compass that guides us through the deserts of this world. I can remember growing up, again, I would spend a month out in California with my other sister and brother-in-law, and we would go backpacking. We'd go backpacking up into the mountains. And my brother-in-law was mean to me. He made me carry all this stuff, and I wasn't used to the mountains, and it was difficult, but he didn't care because he laughed at me. I often tell him that now. I said, you know, that wasn't very nice what you did to me. And he said, I know, but I did it anyway, so... But we would go out and we had a compass because we didn't want to get lost. That compass kept us on the right trail. You see, that's what the word does for us. The word is precious. It's that compass that keeps us on the right trail. Well, we can see what's going on in the world is the world has abandoned the word of God, and our society has just been cast adrift. It's like a boat without a rudder. It's just floundering around. We see what's going on. You see, our nation and our world we've abandoned the Ten Commandments and every precept of God that we should be holding true. We've abandoned all that stuff, and we see what the results are. We've forgotten that the word of God is precious. You see, those who read the word, honor the word, live by the word, we know how precious the word of God is. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Is the word a light to your path? Are you using the word on a daily basis to guide you and direct you each and every day? To be that guide, to get you along that path. Proverbs 6:23 reads this way, for their command is a lamp and their instruction a light. Their corrective discipline is the way to life. You see, the word guides us. It's that rudder in our life. As we sail through those uncertain seas of life, the word, we can discern the course for our life. We can find out how we're supposed to live day by day if we're in the word, reading the word. His word is precious. Are we praising Jesus every day for the word? You see, if we need to praise him and say, God, thank you so much for leaving the word with us, for giving us the word, for giving us your scriptures that we can read and we can use to direct our lives. His word is precious. Verses 4 and 5, his word is personal. But you see, in the word, in the gospel, we learn about Jesus himself. That's how he revealed himself to the world. It talks about truth in verse number 4. That word carries the idea of steadfastness. And you see in verse number 5, we learned that he loves righteousness and judgment. And it reminds us that those who honor God, those who honor his word, will be blessed. God's goodness we can see God's goodness in the word around us. You see, the words of God teach us that God is the revelation of the person of God. You see, he uses the word to teach us about him. How else could he do it? How else could we see that God is a holy God, other than if we're just reading the book, reading the Bible, getting into it every day? God reveals himself in those pages. And we need to praise him for the word, because it reveals the very nature of God to each one of us. Are we in the word every day? Verses 6 through 9, his word is powerful. You see, in those verses, the psalmist reminds us that everything we see about around us was spoken into existence by the word of God. Everything that's visible, everything that's invisible, everything that's large or small, near or far, you see, came in filled with God's power and glory and hope. Hebrews 4:12 reads this way: for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. You see, as we read the word and we get deeper into the word, it exposes our thoughts. It helps us to see what Jesus wants us to be, how he wants us to walk with him. I heard somebody teaching today that the disciples walked with Jesus for those 3 years. But you see, they were close to him, and they were part of his ministry. And yet Judas was with them also. But you see, he wasn't part of the ministry. He was with them, but he wasn't. And you see, Jesus wants us to be totally with him and walking with him and having him a part of our life. Psalm 119, 89 says, your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. And 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Wow. Are you using the word to equip you? As you're out in the world? I was just talking to somebody before the service about a ministry that he's a part of. And you see, he's being equipped to go out into the mission field to share his life and to share the gospel. Well, that doesn't just happen by chance. It happens because he's in the word and he's studying and becoming deeper in the word. He's chewing on the meat. And now he's out sharing his life and the gospel with other people. Are we doing that? Are we sharing the gospel with others? Are we sharing our life? Are we in the word to know how to explain things when people ask us questions? Oh, we may not have all the answers. Somebody may come and throw something at you and you can just say, I don't know, I'll find out. But that shouldn't stop us from sharing our life and sharing the gospel. We should need to be active in doing that. We should praise him for his word because it's just full of his divine power. We should rejoice in his word. Verses 10 through 12, we should rejoice in his will. His will is dominant, to tower above, to control. You see, we can make our plans and devise our schemes, but in the end, God's will is going to be accomplished. And I think that's what should give us hope right now as we look at what's going on in the world. And we can say, wow, how can it get any worse? What's going to happen? But you see, we know that in the end, God wins. He wins. And yes, we may go through some difficult times. some difficult times. But we know that in the end, God's will be accomplished. And we can look at all the maneuverings of all the nations right now, what's going on, and we can say, wow, how can this ever end up for the good? Well, just remember, it's not falling apart. What? It's falling in place. Folks, time is short. If we're not out there sharing the word right now, it's going to be too late. Psalm 115:3 says, our God is in heaven, and he does as he wishes. That's a great verse. And we can hang on to that all day long. Our God is in heaven, and he does as he wishes. His will is dominant. His will is, he's in control. Verse number 11, his will is determined. You see, the things that occur in this world are all part of God's plan for the ages. It's his plan. He's not sitting up in heaven going, wow, I didn't know that was going to happen. Everything's in his control. Nothing takes place outside his divine plan. No, you know, we want to be in control a lot of times. But our opinions and what we think really doesn't matter. God has determined what will take place and what's going to happen. I love Isaiah 46, 9 through 11. It says, remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. I will call a swift bird of prey from the east, a leader from the distant land to come and do my bidding. I have said what I would do, and I will do it. Those are powerful words that we can hang on to as we look at what's going on around us. Psalm 135, 6 says this, the Lord does whatever pleases him throughout all heaven and earth and on the seas and in their depths. And again, just a verse that we can hang on to. And those verses comfort me. I hope they comfort you. I hope those are verses that you can take and look them up again and say, wow, that's a comforting verse. And whatever you're going through, God's in control of all things. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. All things work for the good of him. Verse number 12 says, his will is desirable. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. You see, the psalmist here mentions the nations that honor God. You know, they will be blessed. And we see that in the early stages of America and even Great Britain, where the leaders really relied on Jesus. They had a religious background. But we have gotten away from that. I mean, we are so far away from that now as we look at what's going on. It's a lesson that we can see for the individual as also. We want to submit to him, submit to Jesus for that blessing. Now, I'm not saying you're going to become rich. I'm just saying that we'll be blessed. He will bless us. I don't know what that blessing is, but he will bless us. Are you walking in his will? Romans 9, 19 through 21, the Apostle Paul says this, when then you might say, what does God blame people for not responding? Haven't they simply done what he makes them do? No, don't say that. Who are you, a mere human being, to argue with God? Should the thing that was created say to the one who created it, why have you made me like this? When a potter makes jars out of clay, doesn't he have the right to use the same lump of clay to make one jar for decoration and the other to throw garbage into? God has that right. He's in control. I love that verse that talks about the potter and the clay. You know, a lot of times when that potter is making something, he starts over, he pounds the clay back into a lump, and he starts over. And sometimes that's what he does with us. He pounds us down, and he starts over a little bit. Reforms. Praise God that he's an all-sovereign God, an all-knowing God. Praise him for that. Praise him for that. Number one, we should rejoice in his word. Number two, we should rejoice in his will. Verses 13 through 19, we should rejoice in his watching. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their heart individually. He considers all their work. No king is served by the multitude of an army. A mighty horse is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine. You see, verses 13 through 15 talk about his watching. Jesus is watching as absolute. God is in heaven, but his eyes are on the affairs of men. He's watching. From where he sits, he sees everything that takes place. There's nothing that goes on that he doesn't see. There's no deed, no thought, no sin, no good work that can happen without his intimate knowledge. He sees the full parade. We've talked about that. We see just what's in front of us in the parade. Jesus sees the whole thing as it comes from the beginning to the end. He sees everything. He knows everything there is to know. Nothing is hidden from him. Proverbs 15:3 says this, "The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good." Psalm 139:2, "You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away." I love that verse in Proverbs 15, the Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. There's an old song that we don't sing anymore. It's His Eye is on the Sparrow. It's an old song, we don't sing it anymore, but it says, "Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely when Jesus is my portion? A constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow." When we think about that he knows when even the smallest little sparrow falls, his eye is on us. He's watching us. He cares about us. He knows everything there is to know. Nothing can be hidden from him. And that really just showcases his power and why he is so worthy of our praise. And that's what we're talking about tonight. God is so worthy of our praise. Verses 16 through 17, his watching is aware. God watches the unbelievers as they make their plans. Oh, they make their plans and their efforts to do whatever they want to do. But God knows what's going on. You know, I've had people say to me, "Well, you know, that guy is such an evil guy, but he seems to get away with everything, and he's enjoying life, and God knows what's going on. God knows what's going on. He will have the final say." 18 through 19, his watching is affectionate. God has told us that the destinies of the world are in his hands. He controls everything. It doesn't matter what's going on in Washington or Moscow or wherever it is. God is in control. He is in control of everything. He sees everything that happens to you. He sees everything that happens to me. He feels our pain. He sees our problems. He sees the attack of our enemies. He knows what's going on. He sees the hurts, the fears, the valleys, the sorrow. Nothing escapes his look on us. His eye, just like his eye is on the sparrow, his eye is on your life, and he knows more about your needs than you do, more about my needs than I know. He won't fail you. He won't desert you. He loves you. He'll take care of you. Hebrews 13:5, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. That's a wonderful promise that we can hold on to. He's worthy to be praised for the fact that he watches over all things, especially the needs of his children. We are his children. We are adopted into his family. Adopted. That's that beautiful picture. I love that word adopted because it just means we are part of his family. You're adopted in. The psalmist closes the psalm by expressing his desire to continue to trust in the Lord, that we can rest in his word, we can rest in his will, we can rest in his watching, we can trust in him. As our trust deepens, our ability to rest in him grows, and when we're resting in him, we can rejoice in everything that's going on around us. Even though we can see the world falling apart, we can rejoice in him. We can praise him. We serve a God who is worthy to be praised. And he deserves that praise. Are we praising him on a daily basis? If you don't get anything else from this little teaching tonight, think about tomorrow in your time of devotion, that time that you spend alone, that time that you spend in your war room, wherever it is, that time that you have that time to meditate and look at the Word and pray to Jesus. Praise him first for who he is and what he does in your life. Spend that time praising him. You know, when we do that, all those other things that we tend to ask for, they kind of go away. We kind of forget about that stuff a lot of times. I don't think I prayed for a new Mustang in a long time. I quit praying because it never came, so. When we pray and we praise him, and we remember what he has done for us, and that becomes the foremost part of our prayers, all that other stuff just kind of becomes secondary. Oh, we can still pray and ask for things in our life. There's nothing wrong with that, but ask it, praise him first. Praise him like he deserves. Thanking him for his word, for his will, and for his watching. He's a wonderful God, and he loves us so much, and he wants us to praise him.